Right. Due to a technical mishap on Tuesday, we're going to briefly...
No names.
No names from Moshe Zeli. We don't embarrass anybody. We are going to briefly recap the Gemara that we did on Tuesday, which was till the end of the narrow lines, basically, of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, and then Beis Hashem will try and finish the Amud, and the Perek, and the Masechta, which in English is known as Game, Set, and Match. But we'll call it the Amud, the Perek, and the Masechta. Zot the Gemara. Mai milfoneho, mai melachareho. Remember, the Mishnah said that if Yom Tov is close to Shabbos, Yom Tov is in close proximity to Shabbos, then all of the Mishmaris will divide up the Lechem Mishnah. Now, what does that mean? Mai milfoneho, mai melachareho. Imei milfoneho, if you're taking the time, it means beforehand. That means Yom Tov Rishon. The first day of Yom Tov is before the Shabbos. So when is the Shabbos? On Yom Tov. And la'achareho means Yom Tov Achrayin. The Yom Tov follows the Shabbos. So then again, Shabbos is on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, then Hainu, that would therefore simply be Shabbos Shabbatei Chag. That's Shabbos Shabbatei Chag, which we've already mentioned. So obviously we're not talking about Shabbos on the Chag. We must be talking about Shabbos outside of the Chag. So what is it? It's the other way around. Shabbos comes before the Yom Tov Rishon or after the Yom Tov Achron, which means it's actually not Yom Tov. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That nonetheless, my time is, so why indeed are all the Mishmaris getting the Lechem upon him? After all, it's not Yom Tov. The answer is, given the Hani Makadmi, for Hani Ma'achri, seeing as these are coming early and these are coming late, by rights. What does that mean by rights? After all, you can't expect them to come last minute because it's Shabbos. Or you can't expect them to leave straight away because it's Shabbos. Therefore, tikna rabbanon milsos. The rabbanon will misaken something for them. Kihechi, so that denechlu, that they should eat bahodi hadodi altogether. Therefore, this is a good quiz question. As we said last time, how can it be that all of Klal Yisrael are in Yerushalayim, or all of Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and it's not Yom Tov? The answer is it's Shabbos. Erev of Yom Tov or Shabbos Moitzi Yom Tov, Chal Yom Echad, etc. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds, unlike the Tanakama holds that what? That when the distribution of the Lechem upon him took place on Shabbos, it was split evenly between incoming and outcoming, 6-6. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, what was the score? 7-5. 7 to the incoming group, 5 to the outgoing. Now, why are we giving special dispensation to the incoming group? Why are they getting extra breads? Vahani tarati maya vidatayu. These extra two, what are they for? Why, I mean, go halves? That seems pretty fair. Om rabbi yitzhak no bischar hagofas delosis. Because, after all, what are they doing at the end of the day?
Closing the door.
They're closing the doors which the previous Mishmar opened. So basically, they're doing the work of the morning Mishmar. Therefore, it's only fair that we should give them an extra tip, as it were, and therefore we give them two extra chalas. The Gemara says, why? V'neimalei dal bedal. Why don't we cancel out for the sake of cancelling out? Remember, we saw the Rashi on Tuesday, the word dal means you miss out or you cancel. So why don't the incoming group say, listen, it's probably worth our while not getting 7 and going down to 6. Why? Why would we want to cancel the extra bread? So that next week, when we are the outgoing group, and we're only going to get 5, well, now we'll get 6. So why would we want to take 7 today? That means you're going to take 5 next week when you're the outgoing group. Take 6 today and take 6 next week. So the Gemara says, no. We saw the Rashi says that a small vegetable which is available now is better than a larger vegetable which is maybe available at a later stage, or as we call it in English, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Therefore, you never know what's going to be. I'd rather take 7 today. What are you telling me? No, it's worth it in the long run because you take 6 today, you take 6 longer. Who says, well, how do you know what will be next week? Next week I won't be here, I won't be well, I won't be, there'll be a problem. 100 things could happen. Therefore, I'd much rather take whatever is on offer now. Omer Rav Yehuda, ubamusofin choylkin. This we saw as well, that not only is there a distribution of the lechem upon him, there is a distribution, even split, of the korban musofin. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Meisvei. Mishmaro ha-yoytzeis, the outgoing group, oyse tomit shol shachar, they sacrifice the morning tomit. Umusofin as well. Mishmaro ha-nechnases, the incoming group, what do they do on that Shabbos? Oyse tomit shel beinu arbayim. U-bazichin. Remember we discussed the bazichin last time, that's the spices that you have to be makriv on the mizbeach in order to be allowed to eat the lechem aponim. So again, the morning mishmar are doing the tomid shel shachar and the musafim, and the afternoon group are doing the afternoon tomid and also the bazichin. That is the end of the braisa. Now what's the diuk? Ve'ilu, however, musafin cholkin loy katani. It does not state in this braisa anything about splitting up the musafin. It does tell you the order of the day. They do the tomid shel shachar, they do the musafin. Why doesn't it clearly say that the musafin have to be split? And it doesn't say that. So how can Rabbi Yehuda say that they do split it? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Haytana b'chalukah loikomairi. Beseda, this Tana is not discussing chalukah. That's not his issue. What is his issue? Dakrava, we're not talking about the chalukah. Therefore, you can't bring any raya this way or that. Says the Gemara, one second. But I'll tell you who did talk about chalukah and yet did not mention the musafin. Who was that? V'hotana de Beis Shmuel de Mairi v'chalukah. Omar Rava, v'hotana de Beis Shmuel de Mairi v'chalukah. Rava says, excuse me, Tana de Beis Shmuel did discuss chalukah, and yet, ubu musafin cholkin loik toni. And yet he did not mention the musafin cholkin. So how can you tell me that the previous braisa is not discussing chalukah? Therefore, there's no proof, Beseda, but I can bring you another braisa of Tana de Beis Shmuel, who clearly did discuss chalukah, and yet, what's glaring by its absence? The musafin. Why, what does it say in the braisa there? The Tana de Beis Shmuel. It says, Mishmara hayoytzeis oise tomit shol shacha umusafin. Okay, word for word like the first braisa. Mishmara hanichneses oise tomit shol beinu arbayim ubozichin. So far, word for word, like the first braisa, i.e. the morning group did the tomid shel shachar and the musafin, the afternoon group did the tomid shel beinu arbayim and the bozichin. But now here comes the addition. Arba'o koyanim hoyu nichnasin shom. Four koyanim used to enter. Shnayim mimishmar zu v'shnayim mimishmar zu. Two from the outgoing group, two from the ingoing group. For cholkin lechem haponim, and used to divide up the lechem haponim. So two koyanim used to receive the lechem haponim on behalf of their particular mishmar. Two used to receive it on their mishmar, and that's how they did the chalukah. So this braisa clearly does discuss chalukah. But what did it discuss chalukah? Only with regard to the lechem haponim. Ve'ilu b'musafin cholkin loy katani. And yet you see that quite clearly the musafin being split up is not mentioned. So here you cannot answer like we answered the previous braisa, which was to say that what? There's no proof because we're not discussing chalukah. We jolly well are discussing chalukah. And it clearly said that you split the lechem upon him, so we have every right to ask the question therefore. If you split the lechem upon him, and that's mentioned in this braisa, why does it not also mention that you split the musafin? So therefore says the Gemara, musafin chokin lo ikatani. Therefore, tiyufta, Rav Yehuda, tiyufta. So therefore we have no choice but to arrive at the conclusion that Rav Yehuda is wrong, and the musafin is not split. If it's not split, so then who does get to eat it? Well, it's not really eating because the musaf is an oiler, but the oiris, the skin, so who does get them then? Whoever sacrificed it gets it. So the morning group will get the morning carbon, the afternoon group will get the afternoon carbon, and that will be that. But there's no chalukah. The lechem upon him, there's a chalukah, it's split. But there's no splitting, there's no distribution of the musafin. We saw on Tuesday also, I believe, one more line. Hanichnosin Cholkim Betzofoin, the incoming group, when they got their lechem upon him, where did they stand? At the north side of the Mizbeach. Remember, the north side of the Mizbeach is more prominent. Why is that more prominent? Because that's where you sacrifice the Kodesh Kodeshim. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa basically says the same as the Mishnah, just with an extra couple of words of addition. Hanichnosin Cholkin Betzofoin Kedei Sheyiru Shehein Nichnosin. In order that everybody should know and see that they are the incoming group. So that became a clear sign. Everybody knows. If you want to know which group are the incoming, which are the outgoing, the one that gets in the main place, which is the
north,
which is the Tzofoin, they'll be the Nichnosin. And equally, v'hayyotzin cholkin bedorim. Why? Kedei sheyiru shehein yotzin. So maybe let's just add a line to this now. If I would ask you a question, I'm not sure if it's a valid question. We're clearly giving prominence to the incoming group. That's why we're putting them at the Tzofoin. The outgoing group, we're relegating to the Dorim. The Dorim is clearly less significant, as we're about to see. Bilgah always go to the Dorim. So if I ask you a question, why are we giving prominence to the Nichnosim? Is it just arbitrary? Is it just, listen, we have to have some way of clearly showing which group is which, so we just chose out of a lottery, out of a hat, one gets Tzofen, one gets Dorim. Or is there maybe a reason why we're giving prominence to the Nichnosim?
They're clean. Aren't they cleaner? Like the Begadim, the more...
Even if they're not,
we already
said that. Dam is a Hidur. It's a Hidur. Gemara says, if you're covered with Dam from Karbonos, that's a beautiful thing.
We already said they're the ones who would apparently would close the gates in the evening.
They would so close the gates.
Hush of,
it could be there's more than that. It could be, and this really, Al Derech HaMusa, this really relates to what we were discussing early on in the week. In fact, that's the main subject of a Thursday night show tonight. We discussed early on in the week that in our calendar, in our religion, we don't so much celebrate achievement. We celebrate opportunity. When a couple get married, they haven't achieved anything, they haven't done anything. All they've done is stand under a chuppah. And yet we make a whole big sudas mitzvah. But we don't find an halacha that you make a sudas mitzvah when you have your 50th wedding anniversary. A boy becomes a mitzvah, hasn't achieved anything, he's just now beginning. Why don't you make a big party when he turns 83? 70 years of being bar mitzvah. Etc., etc., etc. A birthday, which is, as it were, a celebration of achievement, is not recorded. Don't find in halacha that you need to make a birthday party. A chanukas habayis. What's a chanukas habayis? You buy a house and you say, well, you haven't achieved anything, you're just beginning now. The answer is, we don't celebrate achievement. When will you celebrate achievement? Upstairs. After 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide for us how much we've achieved. What we celebrate over here is the beginning, opportunity. If I have a new opportunity and the beginning of the road, I can become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's a reason to celebrate. But after the event, it's too late. I can't grow anymore. The one exception in theory is a Siyam, which is very near to today. What's a Siyam? Isn't that a recording of a celebration of achievement? So that's what we pointed out on Tuesday. Look at the words at the bottom of the Gemara. What does it say? Hadron Aloch. I'm returning to you, therefore really I'm not at the end, I'm at the beginning. Now that I've finished Sukkah once, or twice, or thrice, whatever it may be, I'm now better equipped to go and learn it next time. That's really what a Siyam is as well. So therefore maybe that would explain, for example, why a Chasna Kala celebrate even though they haven't achieved anything. The answer is because as a married couple, they have new opportunities to serve Hashem that were, until now, not available. You serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently as a married person, as opposed to a single person. A bar mitzvah boy obviously serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently now that he has the chiv of mitzvahs. If you buy a house, you now have different opportunities for Avodas Hashem that you never had until now when you didn't have a house. So I'm not celebrating achievement. Now, do you know what the greatest proof of this is? The greatest proof of this is as follows. Where do we learn the concept of Siyam from? What's the biggest sim that we make? Obviously, Simchas Torah. Every year we finish the Torah. And we celebrate. Where is the source to celebrate on Simchas Torah? So I'll tell you a very, very interesting thing. The Beis Yosef in Hilchas Simchas Torah quotes that says, he says, you know what the source is, you know why we celebrate on, where do we learn it from when we celebrate on Simchas Torah? So he says, because you see, remember that Shlomo HaMelech was offered either wealth or long life or Chochmah. He went for Chochmah and it says he understood the language of the animals and the birds and he made a big mishteh, made a big feast. So everybody asks the question, I don't understand, what's the connection? Which siyum did he make? How can you bring that as a source to celebrating when you're making a siyum? When you finish the Torah, you finish Parashat V'zoyis HaBrocha, Chamishi Chumshe Torah, Chazak, Chazak, Manis Chazak, you make a party. Why? Just like Shlomo HaMelech. What do you mean? A siyum is at the end. Shlomo HaMelech was at the beginning. So what must be pshat in the Beis Yosef? That a siyum is also a celebration of the beginning. What Shlomo HaMelech was celebrating was, now that I understand the language of the birds and the animals, so I have new opportunities in Avodas Hashem. You can appreciate more. The Gadlus HaBoyrei, the language of the animals, the language of the birds, you get new recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was celebrating because he was at the beginning. And if the Beis Yosef says that that is the source to celebrate at a siyum, that clearly illustrates to us what the nature of a siyum is. Obviously, a siyum is not celebrating the end, but it's celebrating the beginning. And that's what it means, Hadron Aloch. Like in our Chasna video, I think it's become a popular last line. We watched our Chasna video after we got married, it goes through all the clips, and it's all very sweet and very moving, and at the end it says, the end. Question mark? No, just the beginning. So that's the idea. So if that's the case, so I think we understand, maybe at least on Derech HaMusa, what's going on over here. There's a group that has served HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a week in the Beis HaMikdash. Wonderful achievement, but they're now on their way out. I give more prominence to the ones who are at the beginning. Potential. The Nichnosim get pride of place. Certainly the ones who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a week can be very proud of their achievement. But I give extra prominence to the ones who are at the beginning. Maybe that's a suggestion. Either way, that is the halacha, that the nechnasim go tzofoim, the yotzim go doroim, and then we clearly know which group is which. Fine. We are now beginning the final stretch, literally the final stretch of Masechtas Sukkah. Bilga lo'oilom choylekes bedoroim. Bilga, which is the name of one of the Mishmaris, they always get their distribution in the Dorim, even when
they're coming in.
Even when they're coming in. Says the Gemara, who are they, what are they, what happened? Tana Rabbanan Maisei b'Miriam bas Bilga. There was a story with Miriam, the daughter of Bilga. Shehemira Dosa. What does that mean, Shehemira Dosa? She, as it were, rebelled against her religion. She turned her back on her own religion. She was a Jew, obviously. Says Rashi, Miriam bas Bilga, mi mishmar Bilga hoisa. She was from the mishmar that was called Bilga, v'chein Shimon, that was her name. Her name was Miriam. So she, for whatever reason, turned her back on her religion, v'holcha v'nissus, and she went and she married Lesardiut Echod, a prince or a prominent officer, Mimalche Yevonim, from the kingdom of the Greeks. So she married a guy. She married out. Kishenichnasu Yevonim Leheichol. When the Yevonim entered the Heichol, when was that? As Rashi says on the last narrow line, Bimei Matisyahu ben Yoichanon, in other words, at the time of the Hanukkah story. Which, by the way, historically, when was that? That was about halfway through the second Beis HaMikdash, about 200 years into the second Beis HaMikdash. That's when this story happened. Hoysa, when they stormed the Heichal, Hoysa Mava'etes Besandala. What does Mava'etes mean? She kicked with her shoe Al Gabe HaMizbeach on the Mizbeach. So the Yevonim have now stormed the Heichal, as we know, says, Nichnasu, the Yevonim, the Timu Kol Hashmanim, they were metame the whole place. In came Bilga, Bas Miriam, and she kicked the Mizbeach with her shoe. Vahamran, she said, Lukus, Lukus. What does Lukus mean? Says Rashi on the first wide line, who's the Eiv? This is a wolf, Beloshen Yevoni in Greek. Nachum, how's your Greek?
I know how to say wolf.
Okay. Better in ancient or classic? Or modern Greek? Lukus, Lukus, she said. Admosai atomechale. Until when are you going to consume Memoinon shel Yisrael? What does the Mizbeach do? You put the Karbonos and it just consumes, as it were, the Momon of Yisrael. People have spent big money, good money in buying Karbonos. You put on the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach just consumes it. So she said in a very disgraceful and mevaze bizoyan fashion, that until when are you going to be mechale? How long are you going to consume the Momon of Yisrael? Ve'i ata oimeid aleihem, and yet you don't seem to be able to stand up for them b'shas atchak. Here the Yevonim have stormed the Heichal, and you would have thought that the Mizbeach would somehow act as a zechus for them, act as a zechus for Klal Yisrael, and it clearly didn't work. Because if it would have worked, then Yevonim wouldn't have had atzlocha in storming the Beis HaMikdash. So how can it be, she said, she spoke in a very bizarre and dicker manner, that you are mechale momen shel Yisrael, you eat all their money, as it were, day and night, and yet you don't respond by helping them out in their hour of need, which is now. And when the Chachom heard about this, the way that she addressed the Mizbeach, by the way, the Marsho explains that was her wolf reference. What does she mean, wolf? Why wolf? What's it got to do with wolf?
Consumes.
Could it consume? The Marsho says that the way of a wolf is Shadarkoi Litroif Hakvosin. Because it rips apart, it consumes the sheep. That's what she was saying. You are exactly the same. You makriv, the korban, the mizbeach is makriv tamidim every single day, morning and afternoon. If on a daily basis, you're machal moment shel Yisrael. Says the Gemara, k'shashamu chachomim bedavor. And when the chachomim heard about this story, the way that she addressed the mizbeach. So what do? They did a number of things. To who? Who do they penalize?
Her family.
Her whole family, which is going to be the discussion of the Gemara in a moment. Why do they have to suffer? But what did they do? The kavu es ta'abato. They fixed her ring. Remember we discussed this in the Mishnah. There were rings that were basically semicircles attached to the floor, and they were opened, and you could tie the animal to the ring. But if you close the ring, then obviously it's a useless item, because you can't tie anything to it. You can't get the animal's neck underneath the ring, because it's constantly shut. So that was one thing they did. When did they do that? Look at the first wide line of Rashi. Okeshashomu chachomim bedova la'achar shegovro yad beis chashmonoi. After the chashmonoim got the upper hand, and we overcame the Yevonim, which clearly itself was the greatest disproof of Bilgo's whole taina, because you see that in the end, the day was saved. So what happened? So Chazal said, number one, we're closing up her ring. Number two, v'sosmu es chaloino, and they closed their window. What was that? That we also saw in the Mishnah. What was the window?
Keep the knives.
The window when they kept the knives, her window was closed. Says Rashi, Sosmu chaloina shel mishmara. They closed the window of the mishmar of Bilga. Ula kamon porich, and later on we're going to ask, umishum dido, because of her konsinon lekula mishmara? Question mark. Is it fair to be koines to penalize her entire group? What's it got to do with the group to have problems and give her a knas. Why do you have to give a knas to the mishmara? So again, this is the rule that we always say. Whenever Rashi says a lakam on porich, it means because this is the question that is obviously begging to be asked. Bilga behaved, Miriam behaved in a very bad way, so you know what? The next thing is, the whole Mishmara were penalized. That's the obvious question that everybody's obviously going to ask. Why were they all being penalized? They didn't do anything wrong. Now, the Yesh Oimrim, some say, Mishmartoi Shoihe Lovoi, V'nichnas Yishbov, or Yeshevov, how do you pronounce this? Yeshevov, Ochiv, Imoy, Veshimesh Tachtov. The order of the Mishmores, as Rashi is going to tell us in a second, is that Yeshevov are first, and Bilga follow on. So some said that in addition to what we said before, there was something else. And what was that?
They were late.
The Yishwab just stayed where they were.
No, because they were late.
Have a look.
Bilga was
late. Some say that what? There was a different story completely. And that was that they delayed in arriving, says Rashi on the second wide line. Mishmarta shel Bilga shoye lovay. Kishehigiya Shabbos shelo. When it came to their Shabbos, in other words, their week, lo hayu boim, they didn't turn up. Umucha chamilsa, and that clearly demonstrates that what? She'ein ha'avoido chaviva aleihem. Well, obviously, the avoido is not so chaviv, not so
important
to them, because they couldn't bother, couldn't be bothered coming on time. And therefore, v'nichnas yeshevov ochiv, says Rashi, seida mishmore, says bilgo achar yeshevov. Therefore, Ochash Yeshevov Yoitze. Ordinarily, what should have happened? When Yeshevov leave, Bilga Nichnas. But Ochash Shaho Mishmeres Bilga Lovoi. But when the Mishmara of Bilga delayed and they stuck around and for whatever reason they didn't turn up, Ikva Yeshevov B'mashmaratoi. So they waited. Instead of leaving upon the expected arrival of Bilga, they just stayed. V'loyotz, and they didn't leave. U'lefichach konsuha, and that's why they made a knas for who?
The entire family.
For the entire family. Now, who are they konus over here? They were konus Bilga. So according to the first explanation, why were they koinus there? Because of the whole story with Miriam. This Yesh Oimrim seemed to suggest there was a different story. That there was a knas for Bilga because they delayed in coming. Therefore they clearly displayed a lack of chavivus, a lack of kavod for the whole Beis HaMikdash. So again, the Yesh Oimrim, says the Gemara, Mishmarta, the Mishmeres of Bilga, Shoihe, Lovoi, delayed in turning up. The Nichnas Yeshevov Ochiv Imoy. So Yeshevov came in Veshemesh Tachtov, and they were Meshamesh in their place. It's not so much that they came, rather they just stayed there. Afal Pishesh Chene Horoshoim Loi Nishtakru Chene Bilga Nishtakru. What does that mean? There is a principle called Oy le Rasha, Oy le Shcheinoy. Woe to the Rasha, woe to the
their neighbors.
Woe to their neighbors. Now, Yeshevov are the lucky beneficiaries of Bilga's rishus. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Afal pisha shcheine harishoyim lo nistakru. Normally the shcheine, what do the shcheine mean? The neighbors of a rishoyim are not supposed to gain. But over here, shcheine Bilga mistaker. They jolly well were mistaker. Shebil galoy lam chilek as bedoroim, as we said before, v'yeshiv avochi b'tzafim. Remember, we never threw out Bilga. They still have their turn. They have a very embarrassing turn, because their ring is closed, which means they have to come groveling to another mishmar to borrow theirs. Their window is closed, therefore they have to come to other mishmar to borrow their knives. Furthermore, when the incoming and the outgoing, when they arrive, so who's still there? Yeshivov. So ordinarily, if they're the incoming group, you'd expect them to get their lechem upon him, but suffering. And yet they didn't. Where did they get it? Bedorim. So what happened to Yeshivov?
They got it
with Sofoy, even though they were the outgoing group.
All the time or just when Bilga was late?
No, all the time.
So that was their benefit.
Yeah.
That's how they...
So again,
okay.
Yeshivov come first, and then Bilga. Bilga are now penalized forevermore because of one of the two stories that we mentioned. And therefore Bilga, even when they are the incoming group, therefore even though Bilga are the incoming group, and therefore they should have got their lech upon him when? B'tzofoin, they didn't, they got it b'dorim. So who did get it b'tzofoin? Yeshivov, even though they're the leaving group. So which means that Yeshivov have now suddenly gained at the expense of Bilga.
Did they still think of the seven? According to Rabbi Yehuda, do they still get the seven?
Yeah, that we haven't heard of that. That would be a change. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Afal pisha shcheinu yorashoyim lo nistakru. Even though the neighbors of Roshoyim are not supposed to gain in any way. To the contrary, says Rashi, da oyle rasha, oyle shcheinoi, woe to the rasha, woe to his neighbor. Where do we learn that from, by the way? Korach. It says those who are involved in the machlokes are the ones who live nearest. Dosan Vaviram, Korach, Oyle Rasha, Oyle Shcheinoi. They say the story of somebody who opened a sefer and he didn't like what was written in it. He said, I completely disagree. What he writes is rubbish. So he tore out the page from the sefer. Somebody said, excuse me, it's not fair. I understand you don't like what's written on this side. But why should the other page, why should the other side suffer? Says the Gemara, nonetheless, look at Rashi. Shcheinei Bilga nistakru. I.e., who's that? Hainu Yeshivov. Yeshivov were the winners over here. They gained. How did they gain? She bilga lo ilam chilekes bedorim vafilu beknisasoi. Even when they enter, and we said the rule is that the entering group go to the tzofain, but bilga get in the dorim. Well, if that's the case, Yeshivov will always get. But Sofin, even when they leave, Af Biyitziyasa, even when they leave, Shari Bilga Nichnas Acharov. Because Bilga always arrives after them. And if we're telling Bilga, I'm sorry, you can't go to the Tzofin, you've got to go to the Doroim, so who will go to the Tzofin? Yeshivov, again. Veshvachu Lohem, and this was a great gain for them. L'choil Kei Tzofin. They ended up getting their Chalukah in the Tzofin. Okay, so we now have two versions of what it was that Bilga did wrong. Either it was Miriam's whole story, or it was the entire Mishmeres, which means what Rashi pointed out to us before. Rashi says, the Gemara is going to ask, why are we penalizing the entire Mishmara? Well, obviously, that's only a question according to version number one. And that's what the Gemara says now. According to the theory that what? Theory number two, that the Mishmeres delayed in coming. So it makes perfect sense that you're giving a knas to the entire Mishmar because you all came late. El Olamando Miriam Bas Bilga Shehemira Dosa. according to the version number one of events that worked,
Miriam was...
that Miriam turned her back and she switched her religion. So does that make sense? Mishum barte, because of their daughter, konsino leila didei, you've now got to give a knas to him. So according to version number two, it makes perfect sense, because it really was the fault of the entire Mishmeres, because they delayed in coming and they displayed a lack of chashivos. Which, by the way, is now an important principle, which is well known. But you see from this Gemara that turning up late for something is clearly a display of a lack of chashivos. That's what it says. Which means we come late to davening. A person who comes in consistently late to davening, it shows an innate lack of chashivas of tefillah. So naturally a person will turn around and says, no, chas v'sholom, of course I have a chashivas for tefillah, just out of Yisahara, it's very difficult to get out of bed, etc., etc. But it's not true. Because were it to be chashiv enough, it will overcome the Yisahara. If he had an emergency meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning and had to take a bus at 5:30, he'd be up at 5:30. And he would not be at the bus stop at 5:31 because he knows this is important. So very often we blame the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah, of course, is a contributory factor in all of our averus, but the Sheirish is with us. If the person would have a true chashivas for tefillah, then he would battle against the Yetzirah. Someone just came to me a few weeks ago. I spoke about this in a shir, and he said, I must be honest, he was rather embarrassed. He said, I consistently come late to davening. Always, at least 10 minutes late for davening, always. And I'm very upset about it, and then so we discussed a method, etc., etc. So I told him, don't aim to come on time at the moment. Obviously, that's the long-term goal. But you can't jump. Aim for the moment, instead of coming 10 minutes late, 5 minutes late, 5 minutes earlier than you are coming at the moment, and once you get that, then you'll step up again and come on time, and maybe you'll come early. Came to you just yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, I give a shir and another shul, he came up to the end, so I just want to tell you, I've done for a month or two now, I come 5 minutes late for davening, which on his level is a tremendous achievement. He says, for years he came 10 minutes late. I said, if you feel that's what you're able to maintain, now try and step up. The Vilna Goyim says something very, very, very scary. He says it in Mishlei, which I'll also mention in the shiur tonight. We have a principle called Habo Litahir. If somebody comes to be purified, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Messiah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists him. You want to improve, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. So the Vilna Goyen, he learns this into a pasuk in Mishlei, says that on occasion, a person has complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has complaints. I try to be Mischazik. I tried to improve in this area or that area or something else, and I don't really see that I was zoicha to the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Messiah, no, you say. I don't see it. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I don't see that I'm getting any divine help here. So the Vilna Goyen says something very scary, and he says, one second, you've got to be Habali Tahir. If it is done in an unrealistic way, that's not called a Habali Tahir. What does that mean in an unrealistic way? He says, in jumps. If you leap, if you try and bounce forward in Avodas Hashem in too big a jump, that's totally unrealistic. And therefore, you're not considered a Habali Tahir. You didn't try. Because what you aim to do is totally unrealistic. I think I once heard from our good friend, Michael Goffman, who once said that the Mizbeach, we're talking about the Mizbeach over here, which represents, obviously, Avodah. How do you get up to the Mizbeach? We've learned it in this Masechta. There's no steps. There's a ramp. What's the difference between ramps and steps? So our good friend, Michael, said in two ways, a ramp is differentiated from steps. Firstly, a ramp, you can't stay still. On a step, you can climb up a step and then sit there for the rest of your life, if you like. But on a ramp, you're either going up or down. You can't stay stationary on a slope. That's the truth of Avodas Hashem. If you're not going up, you're going down. But the other point was, and this was related to us, a step by definition means that you are demanding a particular amount of climb. But a ramp is totally up to you. You can go up a millimeter, you can go up 2 millimeters, you can go up a quarter of a millimeter, you can go up 5 centimeters, whatever you think is right for you. Whereas if I build steps, and if I decide that the steps are 10 centimeters tall, I'm demanding of you to climb 10 centimeters, because when you go up 9 centimeters, you haven't hit the top of the step. But Avodas Hashem is not like that. Avodas Hashem is not with steps, but rather it's with climbs. And you have to be aborli tire. You have to be totally realistic. It's very, very important in Vilna Gaon. So, when I recently gave a vat in the Kodol, we mentioned that this is one of the classic Eitzos of the Yetzirah. We have to be aware of this. The Yetzirah's best trick is he dresses up as the Yetzer HaTov. That's his best trick. Imagine a person says to himself, you know what, this is it, finished. For too long I've been davening and I don't concentrate and I want to concentrate on my davening. So the first thing is, what does the Yetzer do? He doesn't dress up, he fights. No, you don't need to improve, and your davening is not that bad anyway, and even if it is, nobody else is really davening much better, etc., etc. And he sees that you're determined. No, I want to be mischazik, I'm going to kabbalah myself, and I'm going to sit and learn all about tefillah all day, and I'm going to be mischazik. So you know what he does? He switches clothes. And what clothes does he put on? The Yetzer HaTov clothes. You know what he says to you? Yeah, it's true, you should be mischazik, but come on. Don't mischazik in one bracha and Shemona Esra. What, one bracha? What difference would that make? Minimum 10 brachas. If you don't get to 10, it's a waste of time. Come on, a guy like you, Choshava, Ben Taira, you're not going to suffice with one bracha improve. You want 10 minimum. He's the Yetzer Hara dressing up as the Yetzer HaTov. Because it's unrealistic to go from 0 to 60, as we call it in driving terms. You can't go from no concentration to concentration in 10 brachas all in one shot. Not realistic. So the Yetzer Hara very cleverly comes disguised as the Yetzer HaTov. Imagine the guy who says, you know, I want to learn more. How long do you learn at the moment? An hour a day. Right, from now on, 5 hours a day. That's the Yetzer HaTov. No, it's not. It's the Yetzer Hara dressed up as the Yetzer HaTov. It's not realistic to change your schedule, go from an hour of learning to 5 hours of learning in one shot. So what does the Yetzer Hara say? Oh, what do you mean? Come on. You do 1 hour. What are you going to do? An hour and a quarter? What's the extra quarter an hour? How much can you achieve in a quarter of an hour's learning anyway? If you go from 5 hours, 5 hours, that's a proper... No, that's the Yetzer Hara. That's the Yetzer Hara. Just something very important you say to know. I'll call upon him, we don't grow in Avodas Hashem in leaps and bounds, we grow in stages, bit by bit. So back to our story, we're asking a big question. According to version number 2 of Bilgah, that what was the story? That the whole Mishmara came late. So I understand very well that what?
Everybody gets penalized
because the whole Mishmah came late. But if it's one person, i.e. Miriam, so why is everybody being penalized? Omar Abaya in... Look at your paper very, very quickly, Rabbi Yosef.
It should be finished at the topic.
Right. So why are we penalizing the parents? Miriam bas Bilgah. So why are we penalizing Bilgah? Says the Gemara, yes, in. Kedomri inshi, as people say. What do people say? Shusa diyanuka bashuka oy davuha oy deime. What does shusa mean? The words, the speech. The way that a child speaks, Bashuk, in the street, Oida avuha, oida ime. You know quite clearly it comes from the father or the mother. Dianuka is a child. Shusa, dianuka, the expression of a child, in the shuk, not inside the home, outside when his parents are not watching, you know full well that comes from the father or the mother. As I once heard a Baal Musa say very, very sharply, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and you want to be chayzer b'tshuva, if you're not sure what to be chayzer b'tshuva on, look at your kids. Because all of the averas that you do can be seen in them. I was once sitting in the park across the road from your house in Nachal Uz, sitting next to somebody who shall remain nameless. It was the grandfather of some kids in the neighborhood. So my kids were playing in the park, and the fellow sitting next to me was watching his grandkids. He was here from Chutz La'aretz. And all of a sudden, my kids come up to me. It was years and years and years ago. Come crying. He said, "Oh, some kids over there said he's going to kill me." All very put out. Yes, I calmed him down. Now, the fellow next to me didn't realize that it was his own grandson who had said that to my kids. He didn't realize which kid it was. So he says to me, "You know, it's disgusting the way kids talk nowadays. Absolutely appalling. I didn't have the heart to tell him, it's your grandson." And he says to me, "You know what? You can't blame the kids. I always say, blame the parents." I certainly didn't have the heart to tell him, "Yes, the parents is your son," but he was 100% right. Furush Gemara. I'm a Furush Gemara. I'm a Furush Gemara. Says Rashi, Mishum barte konsina leila didei, kloima, afilu la'avuha, even for her own father, mi havalon la'miknasei, should we have given a knas? In other words, not only do we not understand why you should penalize the entire group, I don't even understand why you should penalize her own father. Why is the father guilty for the way that she spoke? Says Rashi, no, he is guilty. Shusa diyanuka b'shuka diavua oidi ime. Moshel hediot hu. This is a moshel that people give. Ma'asha tinoik medaber b'shuk. The way that a tinoik speaks in the street, me aviv oy mi imoy shoma, he has clearly heard that from his father or his mother. Afzu, so too in our story as well, the same is true. Imloy shoma me aviho shahoyo mevaze eso avoido. Had she not heard from her father that he was mevaze the avoido, then loy omra kain, she never would have said this. And if she said this, then clearly what?
The whole father.
Clearly she was just reflecting what she heard from her father. Shusa means dibur. My mother's closest friend in London once told her that about a day and a half before Pesach, when it was dead busy and she was up to her eyebrows in cleaning, all of a sudden, her in-laws knocked on the front door. Yeah. So she blurted out, "Oh, it's all I need now. It's all I need now, my mother-in-law arriving now." Anyway, unbeknown to her, so her youngest daughter opened the front door to her grandparents. "Oh, Zaidi Babi, you know, Mummy just said that's all that she needs now for you to turn." That's the way it is for Rosh Hashanah. That's what Mummy said. That's all she needs now for you to turn off on Erev Pesach. I just said yesterday in the shir, Rabbi Yosef was there. In the shir yesterday morning. Very frightening story. Very, very frightening story. About the young teenager who was struggling in his Avodas Hashem. And the parent approaches his Rav and says, "Listen, maybe you could talk to my son. He seems very weak in his Avodas Hashem. Barely keeps Shabbos. Doesn't really put on tefillin very often." And the Rav did not seem very keen to speak to the son. "I don't know if I have time and I'm too busy." And the father's very surprised. "What do you mean too busy? This is your job. This is what you have to do." In the end, reluctantly, he agreed to speak to his son. So he spoke to the son for about an hour and he gave him whatever divrei chizuk he could. 2 months later, he gets a call from the father and says, "Listen, I don't know, things are going from bad to worse. Now my son's mamish completely off the derech, never puts on tefillin, doesn't keep Shabbos." And he says, "I must ask you, I don't know whatever you said to my son a few weeks ago, but I can tell you one thing, it certainly hasn't helped. And I'm rather put out. That's your job. You should have given him divrei chizuk, and you should have followed it up, and you should have helped him and guided him, and then you haven't done your job." So the Rav said to him, do you remember when you initially asked me to speak to your son that I was a bit reluctant? And I was trying my best to avoid it. He said, I do remember. I was rather surprised and upset at the time. So the Rav said to him, I'll tell you why. Because I know full well the atmosphere that this child has been brought up in. And I know that you always speak disparagingly against Rabbonim. And you mazalzel barabbonim. And in Das Torah. So therefore, I thought it would be a total waste of time for you to send your son to speak to me. Because why on earth should your son relate to a word I say? Why should he give it a modicum of respect? When all he's heard in all his life was from his parents, they speak against, so yeah, the Rav said this, don't worry, he was just ranting and raving, doesn't mean it, he doesn't really know what he's talking about, he's not informed, he's not involved, he doesn't know, who is he anyway, what do you think he is? So maybe I thought it was a total waste of my time to speak to your son, because why on earth can I have no expectation of him whatsoever to listen to me? And the Rav said to the father in conclusion, and apparently I was right. Can't blame the child. His lack of kavod chachomim is just a reflection of his parents' lack of kavod chachomim. Kavod for Torah, kavod for Rabbonim. That's exactly what we're learning over here now. If you hear a child speak in a terrible way like Miriam Bas Bilgo did, you can be rest assured that what? It's really the fault of the father. Now, that only answers half the question. Which half does it answer? That explains why the father has to be penalized, but why should the whole Mishmah be penalized? Says the Gemara, Umishum avua v'ime, and because of the father and the mother, konsinon l'kula mishmara. Fine, I understand that you have to give a kenas to the parents, because they were the ones who ultimately are responsible for the way that she spoke, but why are you giving a kenas to the entire group? Omar Abaya, so Abaya says, this is what we quoted before, Oy le Rasha, Oy le Shechinoi. Woe to the Rasha, woe to his neighbor, Toiv la Tzadik, Toiv le Shechinoi. Good for the Tzadik and good for his neighbor, Shenema Imru Tzadik, Ki Toiv, Ki Prima Lalehem Yechelu. Says Rashi, bottom Rashi. Oy le Rasha, oy le Shechinoi. But Toiras Koyanim in Parshas, guess what? Mitzayra, which is next week, it says, Tanya, V'chiltzu eso avonim. You have to remove the avonim. Remember, this is talking about when there's tzaras on the house. So you don't merely remove the actual tzaras, but rather you have to get rid of the whole brick. On occasion, you have to pull down the whole house. Noga be'even sheba miktsoya. What happens if the Evan was just touching the edge of the Tsaras? In other words, the Tsaras was really, as it were, overlapping two stones? Then Shnein Chilzim. Afal Pisha Hanega Loinira Elaba Beisoi Shalzeh. Even though I can actually only see the Nega in my house. In other words, imagine I have a house which is attached to your house. And I have one brick which is partly in my side and partly in yours. But the nega is only on my side. I don't cut the brick in half. I remove the entire brick. Even the bit that's in your half and there's no tsaras there to be seen. Even though the nega can only be seen in the house of one of them. Machmas shoiso einoi tzoro bekelov chaveiroi loko bishviloi. Because he had an iron tzoro. What does an iron tzoro mean? He had a stingy eye. That's why the tzoras came initially. Therefore, he also has to suffer. Chaveiroi loike bishviloi mikan omru oi lerosha oi leshchenoi. So here I learn from the principle. The principle, Oy le Rasha, woe is to the Rasha, but woe is to the Shachin as well, even though he did nothing wrong. But by virtue of the fact that he just happens, as it were, to be next to the Rasha, so he also has to suffer. Now, that doesn't prove to me that Toiv le Tzadik, Toiv le Shechinoi. We only have a source for Oy le Rasha and le Shechinoi, so how do I know the other side of the coin as well? Says Rashi, Umemela Toiv le Tzadik, Toiv le Shechinoi. What does it mean, Umemela? you can automatically assume that the other way must be true as well. Why? I only have a source for one way. I can only see that the Russia influences his neighbor to the bad. Where do you see that the tzaddik influences neighbor for the good? So Rashi Mimela, I learn it out automatically. Why? The mida toiva meruba. Because the mida toiva is always more than the mida ra'a. So whatever is true in the negative sense must certainly be true, at least the equivalent, if not more, in the positive sense. Therefore, if I know that the Russia influences his neighbor in a negative way, so I certainly know that the tzaddik must influence his neighbor in a positive way. That's what it means over here as well. Bilga Miriam initiates her own aveira. But her parents automatically considered liable because the way that she spoke is a reflection of the way that they spoke. But why should the whole shevet, why should the whole mishmara suffer? The answer is Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechina. And this is maybe one of the sources of the famous, famous Rambam. Very, very important to know. The Rambam in Hilchas Deos, Perek Vav, says, Derech Shel Ha'odom. Can I just trouble you? Nachum for a Rambam there? Aleph Star, third volume. The Rambam in Hilchas Deos is all about Midos. The first halacha in Perek Vav. Derech Briyase. What does Derech Briyase mean? This is the manner way is created. Now stop. If I see those words in the Rambam, what does that mean? That means that is the way a person is created. You can't change it. If I would say to you, the way that a person is created is that he needs to sleep every so often. That means you can't say, no. Me, it doesn't apply. I can stay awake for a week. You can't. Derech of a briyasa is a person has to eat. No, I can fast for a year. You can't. It's impossible. Derech briyasa is shala adam. It's the way that a person was created. Liyos nimshach. To be drawn. B'dei oisav. In his midos and his outlook. Uba maisav. And his acts. Achar reyov v'chaveyrov. He follows his associates and his friends, v'noyeg b'minhag anshei medinase. And a person will necessarily, this is the way that people are created, will be noyeg, will act in the way that the anshei medinase, however people surrounding him act. So if that's derech briyasa, so how do you assure yourself you're acting in a good way? Obviously, be in a good place.
Good neighbors, good community.
Therefore, a person has to connect himself to his tzaddikim. Why? And the other way around. And distance yourself from Rishayim. You walk in the dark. And he brings a posuk. He says so too. That's with regard to your friends. If I live in a country which has bad minhagim, leave them. Until he eventually writes, what happens if I can't find a place? All the people around me are bad people. Every country I go to is a bad person, bad people. You know the Rambam famously writes? Yeshev levado yechidi. So he should live in solitude. Live by himself. Shema bodod. Yeshev bodod v'yidei. What is the Rambam teaching me? The Rambam is telling you, you can't turn around and say, it doesn't apply to me. I know that I have neighbors who do this. I know I have friends. I know I live in a place. I've got my own solid principles and I'm a very, very principled person. I won't be influenced. The Rambam says, derech briyasei. It's a natural norm. This is where a person is created and there's no way of avoiding it. The Rambam's not giving you an etzer. He says, v'chayev. Doesn't say it's, you know, it's kedai. It's a useful tip. This is what you have to do. That's what the Rambam means. Oyle Rasha, oyle Shechina. You'll automatically be influenced. Oyle Tzadik, Tovle Tzadik, Tovle Shechina. The more the person attaches himself to good, solid, Chaveirim, Rabbeim, Talmidei, Chachamim, etc., etc., the more that he will automatically be influenced. which is one of the big yesodos of a kehillah. Of a kehillah. The force of a kehillah, which all of us as chutzniks, we appreciate more than perhaps in Eretz Yisrael. The concept of a kehillah is perhaps less known over here. In chutzniks, we're all used to it. A kehillah is not just a nice social network to arrange twice a year Malava Malkas with. A kehillah is a body of people who share my hashkafas and avodas Hashem, who can rub off on each other. And the more you're involved, you attach them, the more that atmosphere just generally generates itself and spills over Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheinu. So if I see everybody's learning more, everybody's davening better and doing more chesed, they'll obviously rub off on me because I'm part of the kehillah. It'll automatically rub off on me. Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheinu. Hadron, Allah, Chacholil, V'salika lo. We have now finished Masechta Sukkah. Zot the Mishnah. Sukkah. Shehi. Gavoya.
Yes,
no, it doesn't say that. You missed out a word. Sukkah Shehi Gavoya. This time next year, you have to know Masechta by heart, word for word. Sukkah Shehi Gavoya. Lamala Miyasri Mama. Because if it's 20 yamas, it's okay. But if it's above 20 yamas, then what's halacha? Psula. V'Rabbi Yehuda? Machshe. Why did the Tanna come and say that it's possible? Samora says it's three reasons. Either because it's so high up that you can't see the schach, and the schach's the main bit of the sukkah, like we said, that the menorah shouldn't be too up either. Second reason is because if it's so high, the schach is actually not giving any shade. The shade is coming through the walls, and the whole point of schach is to give shade. And the third reason is because it's so tall, it's like keva. It's at the height, not necessarily the material. The Gemara says, I have no problem if you build a mizbeach out of metal. A sukkah out of metal. But the height means that you must build it in a firm way. And we paskin that a sukkah has to be diras arai. So why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees with these drashas. And the Rishonim say that Rabbi Yehuda in fact holds that sukkah is a diras keva. If he has no problem for the sukkah to be tall, because that's what it should be. It should be diras keva. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that sukkah is a diras arai. And that's how we view Olam Hazeh generally. Somebody once came to the Chofetz Chaim and looked around his house and says, I don't understand, where's all your furniture? So Chofetz Chaim says, what do you mean, where's yours? He says, me? Where's mine? What do you mean, I'm a visitor. He says, so am I. Diras arai. Diras arai.
Zaltov.
Mazel tov. Bishmizeich, Be'ez Hashem, to finish. Many more prokim, many more mesechtas.
Amen.
We didn't finish this either. We learned it, but Rav Shmulik. Oh, Shkoyach.